Here is London, one of the most important financial centers in the world. The House of Parliament is the symbol of secularism in British system, and also the symbol of separation between religion and politics, or separation between religion with social human life. However, there are 2 to 4 million followers of Islam in Britain. Islam, which believes the union between spiritual and material aspects of human life. British Muslims have established more than 1,000 mosques in Britain in different cities. Each year, several thousand British Muslims depart to Hajj through these mosques, such as Islamic Center of England. Before departure to Hajj, the pilgrims learn the philosophy and the principle of Hajj by religious scholars. According to the philosophy of Hajj, Kaaba in Mecca has been established by the order of Allah for people. It means Kaaba, the house of Allah, is the house of people. What's the meaning of Hajj? Hajj is man's evolution from self towards Allah with companionship of people. Islam by words is Quran, and by symbolic movements is Hajj. It means everything that Allah wants to say to people explains through the Hajj collections movement. Pilgrims immigrate from material world towards the symbol of spiritual world, a journey from earthly world towards the divine world. British Muslims depart to Medina or Jeddah from London through the Heathrow Airport. Hajj journey is a special trip for Muslims. Hence, their family, friends, and neighbors come with them to the airport. They wish success for their journey and ask them to pray for them in holy places in Mecca and Medina. Till 50 years ago, Hajj journey was a long trip with so difficulties by horse or camel. But now they depart Mecca from Far East, Africa, Europe, and America by airplane in several hours. Technology and modernism provide the best services for a comfortable spiritual trip. Everyone can see the relationship between religion and materialism, or spirituality and materiality, in high ceremony in globalization or postmodernism period.
My account of my Hajj, which was my first Hajj, which I undertook with my husband on his second Hajj, is somewhat different from his story. We hadn't actually intended to go to Hajj 6 or 7 years when we went. It all came out of the blue. We happened to be at London Airport setting off for Iran for the Easter holidays. And Mr. Alami, the mullah of our own Majmu' Islami, said, "Oh, will you be going to Hajj?" And we said, "No." He said, "Why not?" Why not indeed? The problem was, of course, we were very late in applying, but he facilitated it. He said, "No, I'll put your name down, and as soon as you come back from Iran, get on with it. So we had maybe 3 weeks in Iran, and as soon as we came back, we had to go to the Hajj travel agent, fill in all the forms, and then we had so much to do. We had to get vaccinations. We must have been last in line for getting a visa, and there were so many practical problems to overcome. So I can't really say that I was expecting anything from Hajj. It just seemed at that point an enormous hurdle to overcome to actually make it. But then a few days after coming back, further work came in, and we were asked by Majma al-Islami to look at the English translation of the Manasseki according to Ayatollah Gulpai Ghani. We looked at it and we decided the English did need quite a bit of adjustment. And I think we must have done it in a matter of a week or 10 days. There was hardly any time at all to do it. We started on it, and certainly the English left a lot to be desired, and there were parts that we couldn't understand. And of course, in order to do a credible translation or even addition, you have to understand the subject matter. So I will say that, alhamdulillah, we really got to know the Manasseki, and we seem to be discussing it day and night. So in fact, it was an extremely good introduction to the Hajj. Especially interesting were all the haramat of Ihram. And as my husband said, it came down to the terribly fine detail of finding a shepesh, which is, of course, a lice on your body. You couldn't even remove it. Now, of course, to most people, that's the most horrific of finds, but we'd have to put up with it. We'd have to grind our teeth. And even it said that some creatures would wish to make the Hajj with you, to do the tawaf, and this was quite incredible. Anyway, I was pleased just to catch the flight, to be on the way. Because we had a late departure, we went straight to Mecca. And we were very lucky to be in a hotel extremely close to the Haram. Having read the Manasseki and having hopefully digested it, we could understand that the rules and regulations, the ordinances, the haramat for Hajj were not just for Hajj, but really telling us how we should be leading our lives every day as Muslims. It went into the fine detail that one never seems to hear in Friday khutbas or books that one reads on theology and Islam. I was fascinated to see how it even had rules on how you treat the environment, because, of course, the rule forbidding you to remove a plant from the haram, to kill even a parasitic insect, are all ways of how to treat the environment. And lots of people think that Islam has nothing to say on the environment, but it does, in fact, in great detail. The problem is that Muslims as a whole don't take any notice of it. It's the same with how you treat your fellow Hajjis. That is not to be just how to treat your Hajjis, it is how to treat your fellow humankind every day of the year. So it was quite an eye-opener. Regarding the actual amal of the Hajj, I must say I found it quite rigorous, and I'm so glad that I was able to do my Hajj, and inshallah it was completed, so I won't have another wajib one to do, when I was young and fit enough to do so, because it is quite rigorous indeed. One of the fascinating parts was our first entry to the Haram. In order to do our first tawaf, we managed to smuggle the right books in with us, and before going actually down into the main sort of center of the Haram, we did the mustahab du'as, and it was night time. And I happened to notice, or we both happened to notice, that a moth, one of the many, many moths that swirl around the Haram, had landed on my husband's hand, as he was holding the book open, so he was keeping still, and the moth landed on his hand. And we said, oh, look, how funny, what a coincidence. But we went on doing the dua, and the moth stayed with us. And we thought, oh, this really is funny. I wonder how long he'll stay with us. We went then down the steps, and we weren't alone, of course. There were people thronging around us. There was a terrific pressure of crowds there. And we said, look, he's still with us. We'll try and keep him safe. We actually did 1.5 tawaf with the moth standing on, clinging onto my husband's hand. We were being careful, of course. And then after the first 1.5 tawafs, he then flew up onto my magnet. And he then did he completed another half tawaf on my head. After which, presumably, he'd done enough. He felt he'd done enough and flew off into the night. But that was a lovely, a very sweet experience, especially in the light of having read through and hopefully having understood the Manoseki. The second very interesting experience which I had was, it must have been on the same evening, presumably, because it was our first tawaf and we were having to complete this. I was doing my 2-rakat namaz of finishing the tawaf, and presumably I was standing too close to the circumambulation, but I was in sajda and somebody stepped back, hitting my hands, which were on the ground at the moment, and they pushed my nail right back. I must say I haven't experienced such pain as that for a long time, and it brought tears to my eyes, but alhamdulillah, I managed to finish the namaz, but I was in a bit of a daze as I stood up. Some young woman must have seen that my hand was bleeding. She came along and put a tissue on it, for which I was very, very pleased. I managed to force the nail back into position, but I'd got a bit bloody in the process. So my husband suggested, look, just go down to Obzamzam and try and clean up a bit so that my clothes weren't najis. I made my way, as I said, in still a bit of a daze. I went down and I started to wash, and extraordinarily, as soon as I put my hand under the water, the pain just disappeared, and I could hardly believe it, because I hadn't gone there for that intention at all. I'd just gone there to clean myself up. So I came back up, and my husband said I was grinning all over my face as though nothing had happened. So alhamdulillah, we also experienced the shafa'at of the water, of the water there, and it was a wonderful experience.